You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Israel, 5786, 2025. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayigash. We have the culmination of the story of Yosef and his brothers. 22 years in the making, Yosef accuses Binyamin of having stolen his secret goblet, his powerful magical goblet, and Yehuda steps up. Yehuda steps up. Vayigash, I love Yehuda. Yehuda steps up in protection of Binyamin and says, take me instead. I guaranteed my father that Binyamin would return. And as we know, Yosef reveals himself to his brothers and they return. They inform Yaakov, Yosef is in Mitzrayim. The Jewish people are now going to make their descent into Gullus, into exile. They're going to leave Eretz Yisrael, the first time the Jewish people leave Eretz Yisrael, the first time there is a Jewish people. And they go down to Egypt. But before they go down to Egypt, Pasuk says this, Yehuda shalach lefonov. Yehuda was sent forward, El Yosef, to Joseph. And the Medrash says, the Medrash points out that there were two different things, two possibilities as to what he was sent down to do. Yehuda was sent down to find a place for them to live, to establish the Dira, the place where they would live. Alternatively, he was sent ahead to establish a base medrash. Jewish people need two things when they come somewhere. We need a place to live. Obviously, we need a parnasa, livelihood. And we need a place to study. We need a place where we will maintain our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need a base medrash. We need a place of Torah. And Yehuda was sent forward, and as the Mefarshim explain in this Medrash, he was sent forward because there was no fear. Yaakov Avinu was not afraid of sending Yehuda, who had been the one who had said, let's sell Yosef. He was not afraid to send Yehuda to meet up with Yosef and discuss and figure out the future of Klal Yisrael, how they would be maintained, where they would live, how they would have a base Medrash, how they would have a livelihood. There was no fear. The Jewish people had come back together. The brothers had, through Yosef's incredible forgiveness, through his ability to forgive and let bygones be bygones, and his recognition of the fact that Hashem was in charge of his life and had led him through all of that to become the person that he was, they had come back together. Now, I want to read you a Medrash. The Medrash is talking about the future. It's talking about Mashiach. And it's also going to talk about the story of Yosef. And there's a parallel between what happens in the future time when Mashiach arrives, when the Messianic age commences. So there's peace. There's peace. And the description of the Navi is about animals grazing together and about animals that used to be carnivorous becoming herbivores. I'll read to you the pasuk. It says, Ksiv, it's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 65, verse 25. The pasuk says, Ze'ev v'tale yiru ke'echad. The wolf and the sheep, they will graze together. The wolf used to be the animal that if it would see a sheep, it would rip the sheep apart and eat it up for dinner. Right? But the wolf will no longer need to have another animal that it takes for its sustenance. It will become herbivore. It will become an herbivore. The wolf and the sheep will graze together. V'aryeh kabokar yechal tevin. And the lion, like the cattle, will eat straw. So, I'm just going to give you a preview for the second part of the Medrash, which we'll read second. We're going to read the Medrash in order. Second part of the Medrash points out that the Ze'ev is Binyamin. Binyamin is referred to as a wolf. A wolf. Binyamin Ze'ev. The Taleh, the sheep, is a reference to the tribes. Klal Yisrael is referred to, the Shvatim, the tribes are referred to as a Se'ev Pezura. A sheep that was spread out. Aryeh, the lion that's now eating straw, is a reference to Yehuda. Yehuda, Gur Aryeh. And Bakar, which means cattle, is a reference to Yosef. Yosef is a shor. So you have all these different factors coming together. You have all of the aspects, all of the children of Yaakov, the leadership aspects of Yosef and Yehuda, the tribes, Binyamin. Binyamin has his own aspect, which we're not really going to get into today. But they all come together in a state of completion as the story of Yosef and his brothers completes. But that parallels something that's going to happen in the future. There's going to be a wolf and a sheep. Literally, I believe it's literal. The wolf and the sheep will no longer, no creature will attack another creature. No human being will believe that in order for me to lift myself up, I need to knock you down. There'll be a new way of being. There'll be a new spirit within reality. That everyone can be who they are, and they don't have to take away from anybody else to be who they are. And that will be manifest in the very nature of animals. Everything will change. So it's kind of beautiful because, not kind of beautiful, it's beautiful. There's a parallel between the coming together of the brothers and what's going to happen in the future in the Messianic age. There's going to be coming together of all of creation. A balance, a new balance is going to be formed. Okay, so that's the hint to the second part of the Medrash, which we'll read together as well in detail. But the first part of the Medrash talks about Mashiach. And I think it's just, as we get to a story like this, we have to also think about our own personal places that we've come to, where we've been through whatever drama, whatever challenges in our life, and then we get to a space of rest, or we get to a space of completion on the journey. We hit these tachanot, these stations on the journey, where we look back and we see, oh, that was a certain ride that I had to go through, a certain challenge I had to live through. And now I look back and I see that I reached a new level, a new plateau because of it. So it's important to see that in their story. It's important to know that that's what Mashiach is. And we're going to talk about Mashiach, what it looks like, and think about how it relates to us in our own personal journeys. Medrash says something very interesting. That when Mashiach comes, when the Messiah arrives, and I would say when we hit our own personal salvation, sometimes we have those times. So there's something that we see in the Messianic age which is interesting and we can think about. And that is that anything that Hashem gave a blemish to, gave a wound to, something that's broken in the world. When Mashiach comes, that thing is fixed. It's healed. Ha'ivrim, the Medrash gives us a few examples. Ha'ivrim misrapim. Those who are blind, they will be healed. They'll be able to see. I lost the place. Ha'ivrim misrapim shenemer oz tipokachna ene ivrim. Pasuk says, also in Yeshaya, chapter 35, verse 5, it says, then the eyes of the blind will be opened. Those who are lame, they will be cured as well. A person who is missing a leg, the leg will grow back. A person who is lame, he has legs, but they don't work. Pasuk says, also in chapter 35 of Isaiah, the next pasuk, the person who's lame will skip and run like a ram or like a deer. Visara and Lashon Ilim, the tongue that couldn't speak, the mute, will sing glad song. So there's going to be a transformation of reality. All the things that are broken, all the sickness will be gone. Everyone will be healed. All of the things that are broken will be fixed. Interestingly, the Medrash says that the way that a person went out of the world, let's say a person died, so there's going to be Tchias HaMesim. In the state of rectification, when all the things are fixed, so one of the things that's broken is that we die. Human beings pass on from this world because we're meant to be here forever. We're meant to live forever. Perhaps it means spiritually. I don't know exactly what it means. There is some kind of physical existence. It might be a spiritual version of our physical existence. But when we come back to life, when the dead are revived, says the Medrash, they're going to be revived the way that they were when they died. Hoylech iver uba iver. Cherish uba cherish. Yilem uba yilem. Let's say when a person died, he was blind. When he's brought back to life, he will also be blind. Let's say when he died, he was deaf. When he gets brought back to life, he'll still be deaf. When he died, he was mute. He's going to come back to life mute. Kshem shehu hoylech lavush, kachu balavush. If when the person died, he was buried with clothes, he's going to come back with clothes. Interesting description. I think it's apt, this description, because our clothes, the fact that we wear clothes at all, what's the reason why? It's because of a great chisaron. It's because we're embarrassed of our physical body because we don't use it correctly. Right? Adam HaRishon, he was embarrassed because he had sinned, so he covered himself. Right? So our clothes represent that which is broken about us. If we were completely spiritual, if we were light beings, we wouldn't need to cover up the part of ourselves that represents the physical, because the physical would also be full of light. Which is what it says about Adam HaRishon and Chava. They were full of light. Their or, which usually means with an ayin, or means skin, was or with an aleph. It was light. So when we come back to life, or when the dead come back to life, so they'll be clothed. They'll still be in an imperfect state. We learn this from Shmuel, that when Shmuel came up, Shmuel, he had passed away, and then Shaul HaMelech, King Saul, King Saul brought him back from the dead, and the woman, the necromancer, who was able to bring him back up from the dead, saw what he looked like. Shaul says, because he doesn't see him, he just hears him. Shaul says, what does he look like? Because she saw a vision of Shmuel HaNavi coming up from the dead. He's an old man. He's wearing a coat. Shmuel HaNavi, he wore a coat. That was his attire. It was a me'il. He wore it from when he was a child, and he wore it when he passed away. It was something that he had worn. So, when the dead come back, when you see them, they appear with the clothing. Why is that so? Why, you know, Hashem is going to fix everything, right? Hashem is going to bring us into a perfected state. The person comes back to life, he's blind, and then Hashem is going to be merapeh him. He's going to cure the blindness. He's going to be able to see. So why does he need to even come back in that state? We don't want people to think that when the person died, then Hashem, as long as he was alive, Hashem didn't cure him. But then when he died, Hashem cured him. We don't want you to think that. Because it will look like it's not the same person. We want the same person to come back to life, just as they originally were, with all of that which was wrong with them. And then Hashem will, after they're alive, it's the same person, but now they're cured. They're cured. And I think, I'm trying to understand this and think about this, what it seems to me to be saying is that there's a certain experience that I had when I was going through that challenge. So even though I got through the challenge, even though I've been cured of that challenge, I don't want to throw that away. I don't want to throw away that experience. And I don't want to throw away the mistake. I made a mistake. I did an avera. I regret it. I wish I didn't do it. But the experience that I had making that mistake has made me a better person. I saw what happens when you make that mistake. I see where it brings me, the destruction that it causes, the effect that it has on those around me. I need to have that experience. I can't come back to life without the mistakes, without the problems, without the brokenness. The brokenness is going to be removed, but I need to not forget about it. It's part of me. That experience is still there.
So
So Hashem says, this is why I'm going to bring them back to life the way they were when they passed away, which was with their chisaron, with their defect, and I'm going to bring them to life in that way, and then I'm going to fix the defect. Lama lefani le'netzarel. Ani mirabi, your son. Right. This is what it means. I'm going to read it to you from the Yitzhak Yosef. The Hagigam are moitzi miki reseyamim, or Hagigam rabi enayim ish, chen chershim, sorry, either. The Tam zesh akiru kichai. I'm sorry, I'm reading this poorly. The Tam zesh akiru koichi. They should recognize my power. Ki lefonei le'noitzer el. Ani omis ve'echye. There is no other power besides for me. There's no other power besides for Hashem. And I have the power to take away life and give life. I have the power to make things imperfect and to perfect them. I think this is a really powerful thing to consider. We want to perfect ourselves. We want to be greater. This is talking about something that's going to happen in the future. It's talking about Mashiach. But it's something that happens every day for us. Every single day. We make a mistake. We daven, we don't daven as well as we'd like to. We learn, we don't learn as well as we'd like to. We interact with our families, we don't perhaps interact as well as we'd like to. And I wonder, like, how can I change, or how can I be better? This message is telling me, don't think that you can do it. At least not without Hashem's help. I judge people. I admit it, I judge people. We all do. But I ask, Hashem, help me not judge. Hashem, help me not judge. I can't get out of it. Hashem, help me love. Hashem, help me be unconditionally loving. Right? It's Hashem who can help me. Just like it's going to be in the future when Mashiach arrives and there's going to be these miraculous changes. But Hashem wants us to know that it's only Him. He's the only one who can do it. Raku. V'yafachayis misrabi shenemar zevet ale yiruk echad. Major says, this is not just going to be true of the human beings that we're going to be cured. All the animals will also be cured. As the Pasuk says, our Pasuk which we quoted earlier, the wolf and the sheep, they will graze together. Kol Misrapim. Okay, that's the basic Medrash. And I think that it's important to understand, again, and I'm repeating myself a lot, but it's really important that the story of Yosef and his brothers, as we're going to see one more time in the continuation of the Medrash, the story of Yosef and his brothers is a story of a family split, of a painful break in a family. Man has two wives, the two wives have trouble, the children have trouble, and they come back together in the end. There's a healing. And even the healing is not perfect, it's not Mashiach. But it represents that journey through challenge and through resolution. And it's mankind's story, and it's the world's story. It's something that applies to animals as well. The animals are affected by us. The animals, Medjur says that Adam Arishon, when he ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which brought all the separation into the world, that judgment of good and evil, that split, he took from that tree and he gave each of the animals a piece of that fruit. So they were also, I don't know if it means it literally or just the fact that he ate it had that impact on the entire world. But when we are rectified, when Hashem brings the world to its state of rectification, everything is rectified, everything around us. There's a huge ripple effect on everything. Now I'd like to read to you the rest of the Medrash, which is talking about our story. Zev Vitale Zev Zebinyamin. Who is the wolf? Like we said, it's Benjamin. Pasuk says that he is Binyamin Zev Yitrof. Vitale Elo Ashvatim. Who is the sheep? The sheep is the tribes, the other 10 sons of Yaakov. Shenemar Sepizur Yisrael Yiru Ke'echod. Pasuk says that the sheep of Israel, the Israelites who are like sheep, who have been spread out amongst the nation, they will come back, they will be rejoined, they will come back to all graze as one. So we have a coming together of the wolf and the lamb. The wolf is Binyamin, and the lamb is a reference to the 10 brothers. And there's a coming together of them as well. We don't know really what, the Torah doesn't describe what the relationship was between Binyamin and his brothers until then. But clearly they didn't go down with the brothers. Maybe Yaakov was overprotective of him. Maybe Yaakov didn't trust the brothers to deal with Binyamin. Their relationship, it would seem, wasn't the type of brotherly love that, hey, let's all go down to Egypt together and get food. Binyamin, come along with us. That's not what it was. But when Binyamin is sent down, ultimately, because Yosef demands that he come, what happens? They are together. The Ze'ev, the wolf, which is Binyamin, and the Seh, which is the tribes, they go together. Yaakov had said, I don't want my son. I don't want Binyamin, who is my son, the one who is all that's left that I have from Rachel. I don't want him to go down with you. There was no choice. He did go down. What happened? There was a, in their descent to Egypt, before they even got back together with Yosef, there was a sense of camaraderie, a sense of protection that they were protecting. They were surrounding Binyamin. Before Shem say that as they traveled, they formed a circle around him so that if marauders would come, if enemies would come, he would be protected in the center. Binyamin was in the center to the point, says the Medrash. It says that Yosef, he was like craning his neck. He lifted up his eyes to see Benjamin. He had to look between the brothers to see Binyamin in the middle. They were surrounding him. They were protecting him. In my song about Yosef, so I have a line there. They stood as a wall round their father's last son. They'd accomplished the goal. Now they all join as one. So they stood like a wall. They were surrounding him, surrounding Binyamin, the last son, the youngest son of Yaakov. So they came together. There was a coming together already of the children of Yosef, of the children of Rachel, Binyamin, and the brothers. Aryeh Zeyehudo. Pasuk refers to the lion and the cattle which are eating straw. So the Aryeh, who's the lion? Gur Aryeh Yehuda. It's a reference to Yehuda, who's called a lion cub. Kabakar is a Yosef. Like the cattle, it's a reference to Yosef. B'chorshari Hadalai, he's referred to as the firstborn ox. He was an ox. Sure. Whatever the analogy is, whatever it represents, but he's like cattle. Nimsu Achlam Kiachas. Pasuk tells us at the end of last week's parsha, they were eating together. They were eating together. Right? He doesn't mention this in the Medrash, but when Yosef was thrown in the pit, the Pasuk tells us that the brothers sat down to eat. They ate separately. At this point in the story, even before they joined together, but they ate together. And when people eat together, even if they don't, they might not even realize that they're connected, but when they eat together, eating is the what the pasuk refers to as the wolf and the lamb grazing together. They're eating together. That means that they are imbibing their sustenance. They're existing in a parallel way together. There's no competition in it. They're eating together. There's no separation between them. The brothers aren't looking at Yosef and saying he shouldn't be who he thinks he is. Yosef is not looking at the brothers and saying they need to be something other than they are. We're on equal footing. We're on equal footing. He gave them gifts. That's what the Pasuk means when it says that the lion and the cattle, they'll both eat straw. It's a reference to Yehuda and Yosef that. And we think about Yosef and Yehuda as being the leaders of Klal Yisrael. There's a Mashiach ben Yosef. There's a messianic figure who comes from the seed of Joseph, Shef and Yosef. He's a warrior. He's in the first phase of getting into the Messianic age. And then there's the second phase, which is Mashiach ben David. He's the one who brings peace, who brings the soul in, doesn't just allow us to have Eretz Yisrael, but he brings the Beis HaMikdash. He builds the Beis HaMikdash, the temple where the Shekhinah is going to reside, where we're going to go to get that peace that we seek, that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Fichach Ves Yehuda Shalach Lefanov. This is why the Medrash finishes off and says, since Yosef and Yehuda had come into a state of completion, Rashi says, Lefisha Haya Shalem Imoy, since they were complete, they were peaceful with each other. Lefisha Shalcha Ali Yosef. That's why he sent him. And on one hand, it's talking about the actual story of Yosef and his brothers that they came to completion, like we said, but it's also talking about the future time of Mashiach, when Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, they're equal, they're different leaders, different jobs, but they're going to come together and they're going to each do their job and they're going to support each other. There's not going to be a competition. It's going to be each one doing their thing. Maybe like Yosef, the Mashiach ben Yosef will be someone who's in charge of the economy of the Jewish people. He's in charge of the food of the Jewish people, in charge of taking care of the physical aspects. And the Mashiach ben David will be like Yehuda, involved with the setting up of the yeshivas, bringing the Jewish people to a greater level of service of Hashem, a deeper understanding of what it means to have a relationship with Hashem. But there'll be a peace. There'll be a wholeness. And I think that each and every one of us inside of ourselves, as we go through the challenges, so there's a lack of wholeness inside of ourselves. There's a break within ourselves between the physical part of ourselves, which says, hey, I need this, hey, I need that, and the spiritual part of ourselves, which says, hey, I need something deeper, I need something greater. And that split results in all of the challenges, all of the problems that we have. Our Yitzhara gets us, and that's our physical side pulling us in a certain way. And our Yetzer Tov says this way, and it fights, and it says, hey, that's not right, and it guilts us. But as we come through to the other side, and we have a clarity, so the result is a peace. That's what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to get to a place of peace, where we recognize that all along, all of our experiences are valuable. All of our experiences, even the mistakes, are something that they don't disappear. They don't disappear. They're there for us to have learned from and maybe share with somebody else who's going through a similar challenge. But we get to a place of peace, ultimately. We get to a place where we've come out of that challenge. And we reach that place and we have the Yehuda of ourselves and the Yosef of ourselves. There's a Shlemus. And now we can move on. And now we can get to the next challenge, get to the next plateau that we're supposed to reach. Hashem should bless us. I ask you to bless me. Hashem should bless us. I'm going to bless you as well. That we should have that clarity. We should be able to learn from the story of Yosef, learn from the future, the way it's going to be, that the one that fixes us, the one that brings us to this peace, it's Hashem. Like we saw with the people who come back and they're still broken, but they're fixed. It's Hashem who fixes us. It's Hashem who puts us through the challenge, and it's Hashem who helps us if we reach out to Him to be able to get to a higher level. And ultimately, Hashem should help us to have peace, to have shlemus with those around us, with our spouses, with our family, with our kids, with our parents, with our friends. And Hashem should help us to have that peace within ourselves. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.